I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We are the crew, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills crew, chatting all about episode 4 of this season, this juicy season so far. But of course, I can't do this alone, and I wouldn't dare do this by myself. With me here, I have Ethan Paisley, lover of Rinna, which, by the way, I have to remind everyone, Rinna follows him, and wearing the crown.
In honor of Sutton and her closet tour, which we'll get to later.
Yes, and with us too, we have Jane Johnson, my Bravo queen.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
And with us as well, we have the incredible Laura Thomas Son. She is joining us on this panel, making the crew complete for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show.
So excited to be with you guys. I'm happy to jump in. I'm 4 episodes late, but that doesn't mean that I haven't been watching. So I'm excited to catch up.
You are just getting started in the nitty-gritty of this season. And a lot has been demonstrated so far in these past 4 episodes. We do have our live chat up, so Jane is handling that. If you want to chime into our live chat, please do. We live for the live chat here, all of the comments. If you ever need to get in, join the conversation, please do so. We also have news coming up later on, as well as a special segment, which is completely filled with good stuff, right, Ethan? I mean, you're bringing that later on today. Yeah. Uh-huh. But before we do get started on this episode, I mean, I just want to get overall reactions so far as to what did you all think of last night's episode before we start getting into a topic. Like, can you describe last night's episode in one word?
Underwhelming for me.
Okay. What about you, Jane?
It was a build. I think it was a build because up top, I was a little bit bored at the retreat, but then once we got to the dinner party, I was like, this whole show should just be one big dinner party because it's going down at the dinner table for real. Mm-hmm. And also that was the moment, you know, when Kyle was bringing out receipts of Dorit's Instagram. So it was a build. We needed to plant those seeds and then it kind of exploded in the last 10 minutes. And I was like, thank God I needed that. Otherwise, I would have been a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, I think my word for the whole season so far is forced. I think a lot of, I think a lot of what I love about the Real Housewives franchise in general is that in the past, it's felt a little more organic. And for some reason, and you guys have probably already talked about it, but for some reason, I think there might be some like vying for position right now. And so the show to me is feeling a little forced in some ways. Mm,
like someone's trying to snatch the crown.
Seems like it. And I think her name might be Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Ethan's trying to snatch it. Okay, so let's jump into the very beginning of the episode. Sutton, we always talk about Sutton in every single one of our after shows so far because every single episode, I feel like she's delivered something completely different. And I know in the very beginning, Ethan was the only one that was all for Sutton and then went back to not being for it. And now I feel like all of us individually have gone back and forth with our relationship with her, whether we like her, we don't like her. That's a perk of being, I guess, a newbie. But, you know, we start off the episode talking about Sutton. They're on their way to the retreat. We get into this car ride with Kyle, Sutton, Erica. And, you know, Sutton is feeling really, really nervous. She's about to cry in the car. And Erica and Kyle are basically telling her, you know, we're giving you friendship points for even showing up. I want to know, did you guys feel bad for Sutton? Because for me, it was a moment that was so out of the blue that I thought she would be the type of person to really not even care. But the fact that she legit looked nervous. And I don't know if maybe I was being fooled, but I thought she looked nervous. And I did feel like she probably was about to cry, which made me double think, my whole stance on her. So, I mean, just to get started, Jane, did you feel bad for her in that episode, in that scene?
I honestly did. I felt for her, and I liked seeing this moment because it was some humanity from Sutton. And I feel like before I was giving her a little bit of crap at the dinner party last episode when she was like, I don't know where to sit. I'm so anxious. But then when we saw this, knowing what went down, you know, between her and Teddy, I was like, oh, and I don't want to label someone with something that they're going through if it's mislabeling, but I'm kind of going to do it anyway. Like, I feel like Sutton has some real social anxiety that she's dealing with, because watching it, I was feeling for her. I was like, I think there's like something else going on here that makes her very socially anxious in certain situations that, like, I'm curious if they're ever going to address it on the show, because to just full on cry like that and the way that she was saying she was very anxious and her body reacting that way, I was like, this feels like it's a general social anxiety thing happening.
I agree with you, Jane. Yeah. I have to say I agree there, because I think, you know, in the past episodes we've seen so far, she's been so, you know, kind of like aggressive at first, and then she's slowly starting to warm up, I feel. And I felt bad for her as well when she was in that car ride. I mean, and the fact that she actually showed up, you know, let's not forget Garcelle didn't even show. So Sutton actually did want to be there, and maybe her past communication with Teddy was just a big miscommunication. Like, she was really just trying to, you know, be heard as a friend who wanted to be there.
What do you think, Laura?
I don't know that I felt sorry for her yet. I was like you, Maite. I was very caught off guard by the emotion of it. And it made me wonder, like, was the interaction between her and Teddy like really that bad? Or I don't know. I didn't get a sense of her. I was like, oh man, like this poor girl, like she's all sad about going in or whatever. I don't know. I just kind of thought it looked strange. It was a strange reaction. Like, you're going to a party, like it's, I don't know. It didn't give me the like, I feel sorry for you vibes.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely out of her comfort zone, I think, to do all of that and for her to put herself in that position. But if anyone, I wouldn't feel threatened by Teddy. She'd be like the last person I'd feel nervous around. So I think there is more to their interaction that I just probably don't understand it yet.
That's how I felt too. I was a little bit like, either there's more that we're not seeing and that's why she's this emotional about it, or the whole like strong, like, you know, claws out, as she says, kind of mental, like persona that she puts off is like a total facade. And like, this is the real Sutton. And I guess I just want to know which one is the truth.
Right. We did see a little bit more of Sutton, right? When the ladies, we're going to get into, you know, them individually, but there was a point, right, when they were at the bar and Sutton apologizes to Teddy. I did feel like that was genuine. And I think that it was, I don't know, I felt like Sutton probably needed to get that out of her chest. Do you guys agree that she did good in apologizing to Teddy the way that she did? It was private. It was between them two, which I'm glad that she did. And it wasn't involved, you know, like all of them were involved all together where she felt the need to apologize.
I like the fact that they had a moment. It seemed like a really genuine moment between the two of them. And I think it needed to happen. So I like that moment that they caught on camera.
Yeah. What did we think about her boxing? That was hilarious. Sutton trying to box.
Bless her heart.
I loved that it was like in a hotel ballroom. What a bizarre setting for a boxing engagement. You know, like that was the weirdest part to me. I was like, just do it on the patio where you're doing yoga or something. But to see it in a ballroom where they're probably having bar mitzvahs right before that, I was like, this is weird.
I was going to say, how much do these tickets go for? Because it doesn't look like a very expensive event. And I was really anticipating Sutton to comment on something, you know, about like, we're doing it in a ballroom or, you know, this looks cheap. Like, and she held back. So That just adds to the fact that she's being more genuine this episode.
Yeah, she was so in her feelings, she didn't even comment on...
She didn't even notice.
I did make a comment or made a note while I was watching the show, and I wrote, okay, how many of these retreat guests came to A, be on camera, or B, see Erica Jane? Like, I'm like, okay, the price of admission to be on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills or to see Erica Jane, sure, I'll pay.
Yeah, for sure. They probably all must have received that.
Do we know how much the tickets go for? Does anybody here know?
Ooh.
Oh, let us know in the comments. In the meantime, I'll try to Google that.
Yeah.
Yes. I was thinking in my head probably like 300, like a Coachella ticket, because they were there overnight, right? I feel like it was an overnight stay.
Yeah. It was a retreat, but I'm not sure if that's like a day retreat or if that's like a week retreat. So.
Mm-hmm. No, because the girls were going down. Remember Kyle was in the limo and she was like, oh my gosh, it's so early to be going down to, they were in Laguna, right?
Yeah.
So like super early to be going down. And then I remember it saying like 9:30 or whatever was the end of the retreat. So I think it was just a day long thing.
Oh,
I think it was a day long for them, but I felt like the other guests were staying for longer, but who knows? I am on the All In website right now looking into some things, but yes. Would also like to point out that it was definitely Laguna, because Surf and Sand is where the Black and White party was in Laguna Beach. If you guys remember that. Mm-hmm.
Oh. It all goes down in Laguna Beach for them. Right. Let's jump into the drama from the retreat, because that did bring some heat, I guess, for Dorit specifically. So since the get-go, Dorit had said, hey, I'm going to show up and I'm going to show up at 12 o'clock. The only person who had an issue with this is Kyle. She is the only one. Teddy apparently didn't care, but she really does care. And for a second, I felt like none of the ladies wanted to be there. And that's why they caused this drama, to be honest. So Garcelle didn't show up, as you mentioned, Ethan. No one gave her heat about that. And as soon as Dorit gets there, she's all glammed up. She shows up. The only person that has something to say, like I said, is Kyle. What did we think about this first interaction between Kyle and Dorit? Because Kyle just calls out Dorit and says, well, you know, what were you doing before 12 o'clock? Like, does she have any right questioning Dorit? I have to say no, but I mean, Jane, what do you think? Did you think that Kyle had any right to question Dorit and ask her and judge her based on how she appeared?
I feel like Teddy should have been the first person to care, and it didn't seem like Teddy cared. So why was Kyle, I mean, I guess they're always each other's mouthpieces, Teddy and Kyle, but the fact that Kyle was like freaking out over her not being there on time, it seems like they were really caring about punctuality in this episode as a theme, you know? And like, I just feel like Dorit's gonna do what she wants to do. She looked amazing. Teddy didn't care. Like, just let her have a moment. It's a far drive. I was fine with it. I don't think Kyle should have freaked out, but you know, Kyle was creating drama where drama needed to be created.
To me though, this is Teddy's fault at the end of the day, because she said she doesn't care if you show up, when you show up. To me, that's a recipe for a problem like this, where some people may feel insulted that you show up late and then things start getting miscommunicated. I felt like things started getting miscommunicated way before this even happened. So something was bound to explode day of. So I'm not surprised something like this happened. By the way, Dorit looked fabulous.
She looked fabulous. And really our girl did. Candy in the comments said Denise was later than Dorit, and Kyle left her alone, which is a great point. I think Denise did say she was going to be late, whereas Dorit maybe didn't, but still, it was...
She did. Dorit said, I'm going to be there since the very beginning when she got invited, and she's like, but I'm going to get there at 12. And the timestamp showed that she got there at like 12:08, almost close to 12:10. So the fact that Kyle just went straight at her and said she was late, it just didn't make any sense. What did you think, Laura?
I had two comments. First, you know, this is season 4 that Dorit has been a part of this cast, and she never goes anywhere looking less than like full character. Like she is in character every time she goes. So the fact that like she shows up to a health retreat wearing her Barbie glam or whatever they called her in the episode, I had no problem with that. I was like, this is what we've come to expect from Dree. So why are you all of a sudden acting surprised, Kyle? And then also, but that goes to my point that I made at the beginning, which is I feel like this season, for some reason, more than any other that I've seen, this season is the season that I feel like Kyle is like trying to like establish herself as like the queen bee of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like she's constantly picking fights. Even in her confessionals feel a little like pointed and scripted and not quite as genuine as like Kyle of years past. So I feel like all of that is kind of the like one big ball, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I do have to agree, but Kyle is making it look very mean and dirty. She's not, it doesn't, this past episode, she made it seem very, I don't know, like in a malicious way. And certain words that she used to express other cast members, which we're going to get into, it just rubbed me the wrong way. Like that is no way to be acting, no matter if you want to take the crown or not, like just be yourself. Those are the ones that we care to pay attention to and to say, this one deserves the crown. Like it's just, it's genuine. I do want to bring up a tweet because, you know, the ladies interchange tweets, right, as they're watching with everyone else. But this one stood out to me, which touches also on this topic. So Teddy tweeted out, as we're going to show right now as well to everyone, she says, in quotes, "I came to be with Teddy," she says, as she eats French fries in her suite, rather than actually be with Teddy, hashtag RHOBH. So Teddy is referencing Dorit, which Dorit replies with a emoji saying, "I wasn't alone in that suite or the one who ordered the fries. I was, however, at your retreat for 9 hours with 4 hours of driving. I think that shows a desire to support a friend," hashtag just saying. What do you guys think about this tweet? Laura, let's start with you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that if to the point that Dorit made at the actual retreat, you know, if a friend shows up to your event, you know, in support of you, like, I don't know what Teddy wanted. I don't know what Teddy's expectations were for her friends to show up when she was pulling the mats and she like, you know, did she want them to like get in there and like get sweaty? She knows these women. She knows that's not their jam. So I don't really know why. I don't know what Teddy's expectations were. You know, I think that the fact that they showed up, I mean, I think when you're friends with someone and you show up for them, you know, as a friend, you take that generosity and, you know, acknowledge the effort made on your friend. So I'd have to agree with Dorit in this time.
What do you think, Ethan?
I feel like Dorit really only showed up for herself, if that makes sense, like to be seen, to be noticed. I mean, you look at all the work she put on, I know that's who she is, but to come to this particular event dressed like that with all of the, you know, drama the day of, like, they're talking about me and, oh, just because I'm late. Like, that seemed to be all she cared about while she was there. So it seemed inauthentic to what she's saying about supporting Teddy. I felt like it was, you know, more her being there for, to be on camera, pretty much, you know?
Well, if you're getting paid to be on camera, might as well look fabulous while being on camera, you know?
And that brings it back to Laura's point about this seeming a little forced, because it's like, okay, so these women coming to this particular event and then Dorit shows up late. It's like, we know these women, you know, and seasons in. So,
and they've also been very open in the past about not understanding a darn thing about what Teddy does. So,
right.
Like, yeah.
I mean, so the fact that we're like shocked that they like don't participate in this event or show up in their like Barbie glam or whatever, I just feel like that's a little bit like, I also question with the like emoji.
We knew that no one was going to this retreat to get changed. No one was going to get accountability. if anything, they were going to promote Teddy's event and to give some face time to what she's doing. And they were going to create a little drama while there. I just felt it was hilarious that Dorit needed to defend herself, being like, I wasn't the one who ordered the fries. Like, make it known that you did not order the fries. It's like, girl, you guys are on a retreat. You've got room service. You've got the production budget. Don't be ashamed of the French fries. That was a lot for me.
I have a question. Where was Sutton during all of that?
I think she was in her own suite.
Oh.
I think I heard that. I'm not sure.
I mean, knowing Sutton, she would have her own suite. I don't know, but it just seemed weird. I kept thinking, like, there's Kyle, there's Dorit, there's Erica. Where's Sutton? So
also, why did they have like 4 hours of free time? Just remember that in the corner subtitle, it was like 2 hours of free time later. I was like, when's the work going down?
Right. We knew once they headed to the bar that yoga was not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole yoga session. I mean, I would have joined, but if they were there to support Teddy each individually, someone should have showed up to that freaking meditation. I don't know. It was just all over the place. No, like I said, nobody wanted to be there, period.
Favorite quote was, I'd rather go to the DMV every day for a month than meditate for an hour.
Yes, basically.
But nobody wanted to be changed.
Nobody wanted to take accountability there. All right, let's jump into our third, discussion, where we go into Denise's pizza / backyard party. My first question is, what is this for? Why are we what are we celebrating? What's the party for? I wasn't really understanding that whole concept. Did any of you get why she was doing this, throwing this dinner party?
It's a new house, right? So they're trying to like break in the new house.
Right. Yeah. I think it was more of a housewarming, which also was interesting. Wasn't it Kyle who was throwing shade at Denise for the ice sculpture? And she was like, this is so not like Denise. Why does she have a diamond ice sculpture? It's like for the show, obviously, because you all hold diamonds.
Right.
That's why she just wanted to like come for everybody.
Kyle, as soon as she entered, she was the first one there and the first one to start criticizing. And then comes Rinna, right? And Rinna says, Denise is the biggest flake on the planet. And I thought to myself, when has Denise been a flake? I get it that she's late, but I can't remember a time where she's been a flake. Which I don't know. I thought that was...
Or her days later, she's not a flake.
Yeah.
Yeah, the woman's on painkillers and just moved into a new house. She's got kids. Give her a break. She's also hiding from random people who are following her.
Someone's always following them.
Agreed. Anyways.
So then we get into this whole conversation right in the table, and there's this full-on table, and it's all of the ladies chatting it up. Everyone shows up, and then across from them is the kids' table. And this conversation was a lot more interesting than the conversation that took place at Kyle's, in terms of it being like juicy, like, ooh, we get to know some secrets and we get to dig in deeper. Like, we got to see how Erica, she's slept with a couple, right? Did she say that? Or she's dated? She dated a couple, but it kind of insinuated that she kind of slept with them as well. And I love the comment that Erica made when she was like, these sluts, like, they've all done their own thing. Why are you judging me? What did we think about this conversation that was taking place? Because there was no filter. Everyone was just saying things out loud and saying what first came to mind. Like, what did you think, Ethan?
Remember when Garcelle said three girls, like she led on the pronouns, she was like her and me. I was like, ooh, so that was cool. Garcelle's open though, as we know, so yeah. Why were they judging Erica? They're all, I mean, look at how Dorit dresses. She's definitely been with a woman or two in her life.
I loved when Erica Jane had her moment when she was like, why are all these women clutching their pearls? And I loved that quote from her. But yeah, I mean, obviously Denise's kids have to know something. They have to have some kind of access to email, but it is interesting to see the dichotomy between like her being so strict with her children and then her past and present behaviors, you know? So that was just interesting. I think Erica, most of Erica's shade she was throwing was about Denise, because Denise was trying to hide her kids from the whole situation. So I found it very entertaining. This was the part that it was like, thank God that this is happening. And then Kyle, like, fully defending, she's like, I've never done the lesbian thing. I was like, that's such a boomer thing to say, I felt. Whatever.
Yeah. I agree. As the mom, as the resident mom of the group, you know, I understand that there's some things that I will hopefully my kids won't ever have to like find out about their mom or their dad. You know, we all have, you know, tequila nights or what in our past that maybe we hope our kids don't find out about. And I can empathize with Denise in trying to sort of protect her little baby ears about it. But again, you know, it seems so sort of like polar opposite for who Denise is, because she seems like such a free, open, you know, sexually kind of woman that, you know, I think at some point when her girls are of age or a little older, I see their relationship being more like Rena's with her daughters, which is a little more open and kind of free in the conversation. But this is also why I love, love, love Erica so much, because she just keeps it real. And she is 100% like the realest Real Housewife to me, because she unfiltered, she knows when to apologize. She knows when to have fun. She knows when to, like, you know, kind of dig in and then she knows when to back off. So that's why I like snaps for Erica in this moment.
Yeah. There was definitely a montage that showed where Erica took her sweet time. I think they were in Japan and she was getting ready and she's like, well, you know, honey, if I have to get ready, like I'm going to get ready and take my time. Like, so she kind of understood Dory, but then she was like, well, you know what? I'm no one to speak. Like, I guess she has to do what she has to do. And in that moment was when Dory and Kyle really got into it at the table, and this whole discussion led to a bigger discussion where Kyle just pretty much stormed. We see her at the very end storming off crying, and you know, one point that's being made from Dorit is that she says that, you know, Kyle is always defending Teddy. That has been going on since forever. And you know, what did we think about this whole discussion between them? Because I do want to point out that the only person that really spoke up and said what I was thinking during all of this interaction was Denise. And she was saying, you know, why do you care what, you know, Dorit wears? What did we think about this whole discussion between them? And do we think as well that Denise was in the right to get involved the way that she did?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's her house, it's her party. So, you know, I think she has every right to sort of try to at least control the, you know, the explosion that I think she saw that was coming, or the tensions that were happening. So I don't mind. And I actually kind of respected Denise to stand up and actually, you know, voice her opinions and call Kyle out. You know, yeah. Kyle was kind of being a jerk to Dorit. And I think, you know, I think in this season, again, I just need Kyle to like sit down and be quiet for a minute.
What do you think, Ethan?
Well, kind of a question for the panel. Do you guys feel like she's trying to embody Lisa Vanderpump a little bit? Like, do you feel like she feels indebted to Lisa Vanderpump's diva-ness, and she feels like she needs to fill those shoes, so she's gonna, like, you know, throw Denise under the bus and say all these horrible things just to as you said, Laura, like level up?
Yeah, I think she's trying to literally like put herself in the void that Lisa left. She's like, she's trying to assert herself in that. And the only way that she's going to do it in a way that makes us cheer for her is for her to not act like someone that she's not. And that's what I feel like she's doing. She's stepping into this role and like putting on this persona of like, you know, I'm the head, you know, HBIC now. And I like season one, you know, past season Kyle's way more than I like this like phony version of her.
Right. So. It's very inauthentic for her to do something like that. And she was very mean, especially when she took a dig at Denise and she called her a ragamuffin, which I had to look up what that meant because I had no idea. And I looked it up and it says a ragamuffin is a person, typically a child, in ragged, dirty clothes. And I thought, yes, who does that?
I know, because I saw ragamuffin blowing up and I'm so glad that you looked it up, Maite, because that's a hilarious, absurd diss to give Denise. I mean, she put a lot of effort into getting ready for this party. She had glam. She looked great. Like, that's so extra. So to call her a ragamuffin and then on the other hand, care that Dorit looks too good, it's like, what is going to please you? And honestly, like, Dorit looked incredible. I did love how, like, I thought that this was an unnecessary seed that was planted at Surf and Sand, but then at the dinner when they were pulling out the receipts of Dorit's outfits on Instagram and the way that she was posing and the full-on photo shoot, the way that Bravo edited it, I was like, oh, this is paying off now. I thought it was hilarious. Because, like, Dorit looked fabulous, and it was kind of, I will say it was kind of funny, the way that they edited it, where Kyle was coming at her. I thought it was ridiculous, especially since, Maite, you said she would show up at noon, so she wasn't doing anything wrong. Like, I did think it was kind of funny, though, so I am a little bit grateful for that, but she took it too far. She was being a little overdramatic, and, you know, she is coming for that crown.
Do we think Kyle's going to take it an extra step further? Do we think she's just going to get meaner? Because that's the only word that really comes to me is just, she's just, it's just mean. It's petty. Do we think she's just going to continue on and being this way? Or do we think someone is going to pretty much put her in her place? And if anyone, who would be the person to do that?
Brandy.
Brandy will show up this season.
I mean, just saying, you know? I think if anybody were to like step in and honestly like step in as the HBIC, Brandy could do it. Mm. Just a thought.
Yeah. Brandy. Brandy always delivers. That's for sure. Any final thoughts for this episode that you all wanted to chat about or anything that really stood out to any of you?
Well, I definitely wanted to call out some of the feelings in the live chat about hiding the kids from the dinner conversation, because people were a little bit split. At first, I was thinking they were gravitating towards hide the kids. Jean was saying, you know, as someone with kids, she can identify with the sentiment that Denise had. But then we got some funny tweets or some funny comments as well from T. Geddes. My feelings are they're filming and it's this crew. Send your kids to a friend's or basement, LOL. And Courtney Gift said, I agree. That's where we went when I was young at cookouts, LOL. And I loved that.
And you know what? I want to add on to that because I think Denise might be putting on a little bit of a facade here that she really is like this careful mom around her kids. Like, come on, she was married to Charlie Sheen. Her kids have seen the worst of the worst. I feel like this may be something she's doing just to kind of, you know, build a character on camera that she's this, you know, really good mom. I mean, I'm not denying she's a good mom, but, you know, her kids know what's going on.
Yeah, Courtney said she did wild things enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. They're old enough. Thank you, Jane, for sharing that. Of course, please, all the time, feel free to join in on the comments. We're always commenting back as well. If you're listening to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to us, please make sure to leave us a rating of 5 stars as well as your comments. If you're watching us right now on YouTube, please make sure to leave a comment, join in on the conversation, give us a thumbs up, and, you know, let us know what other shows you're also watching, because there's so much Housewives going on right now as well. So we thank you all for your support. We also give our social media handles to Lee at the very end. So if you also want to join in the conversation with any one of us, please feel free to do so. But right now, we're going to jump into our special segment. And Ethan, do you want to take it away?
Yes, I will. All right. So the special segment we play every week is called How Many Fs Do I Give? Based on Erica Jane's How Many Fs Do I Give? All right. Let's let me explain the rules before I get into it. So, you guys tell me in the comments here on the panel how many Fs you give about these specific moments from the show. 10 Fs means you give a lot of Fs. 5 Fs means you give a moderate amount of Fs, and 0 Fs means you don't give an F. All right? Let's start with the ice sculpture. How many Fs did you guys give when you saw this? I gave like 5. I mean, I really thought it was just decoration. And when Jane pointed out that it was a Real Housewives diamond, I thought that was kind of cool. So I gave it some extra points there, but I didn't really give much of an F. How about you, Maite?
I think I give, you know what? I give like 3 or 4 Fs just because it caught Kyle's attention and it made her comment in a certain way. And it made her look like really, really shady. So I think in something it brought probably some heat to, you know, the night, but if anything, I thought it was a nice gesture. I mean, an ice sculpture is so cool, especially when you put, actually, she should have had the ice sculpture and put like the shot. I forgot what it's called, but there's
ice luge.
Ice luge. Yes. I love ice luges. Like, she should have had something like that to amp it up a little bit. Then I would have given it more Fs.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I really like the ice luge add to that, Maite, because that would have, maybe everyone would have given more Fs. Our comments right now, everyone's pretty much giving 0 Fs. And even Sienna Lake says -500 Fs. I would probably give this, like, I mean, I don't know why I want to give it so many Fs. I'm like, 10 Fs, whatever. But like, but I feel like that's a little bit much. Can I give 7 without seeming so extra? Whatever. I liked it.
Girl, you can be extra. Give it the 10. Give it the 10.
Hit it with the 10. Devil's advocate, baby. Let him have this ice sculpture. Yes. Let him ice luge.
I love it. I mean, I feel like my Fs would have gone up if I could have like had some tequila from the ice sculpture as well. So I'm going to give it like a moderate, like 5, 6 Fs, you know, take or leave.
All right. Next moment, when Garcelle's kids asked her for Gucci. Now I'm going to say I gave 10 Fs because I was so excited. Garcelle being a real housewife, I thought she would like pull out a couple hundreds and be like, go ham, but she did it. So she was like strict about it, which I respected. So I'm going to give it I'm going to give 10 Fs.
I'm going to also give 10 Fs, not to her kids for asking for Gucci, but for her to like immediately shooting it down. Like 10, 100% love her. I literally wrote in my notes, yes, Garcelle, you are not getting Gucci anything. I loved it. 10 Fs, girl.
Yes. Wasn't she like, Gucci, you need a job. It was so funny. 100 Fs. Like, I just, Garcelle's scenes are so great. I wish we could have seen more of her this episode, but that was really honestly all we needed. The shade she gave her kids just to get them in line. Hilarious.
I do also love though how very polite they seemed when they were at the table and they were ordering their meal. They kept saying, may I have this, please? May I have this, please? So I thought like, there's, you know, you can tell a lot about like how someone, you know, parents by like their kids and how they treat other people. So again, like the more I get to know Garcelle, the more I'm like, I like you. You're good.
The chat is split on this one. Jean said, I'm boring, 0 Fs. T Geddes said 10 Fs because her response was gold. Maite.
Yeah, I definitely have to give, I agree with Laura. I have to give it 10 Fs just because of her response as a mom and what she gave, you know, her response back. But also her son was wearing a Supreme shirt, which that costs a lot of money. So if he were to sell that, he could totally get himself a Gucci bag, like a Gucci wallet. He could get himself something like that. So the kid wears really good stuff. I mean, a Supreme shirt costs bank.
Good point. Maite keeping up with her streetwear.
Bought one, so that's why I'm like on the hunt.
All right, my last moment I wrote down, and we kind of already went over this, but you know, this was, as I said, for me kind of an underwhelming episode. However, one moment I did find interesting was when Dorit kept saying throughout the episode, I have a life, I have a life. How many Fs did you guys give about this phrase she used to be an excuse? Because I give 10 Fs. I think that's really unfair to look at Teddy, who has a family that she's leaving to come do this, and say, I have a life, and you, like, what? You know? Like, everyone has lives, but everyone committed to be there. So I don't think that's cool.
100% agree. I have to give it, I don't know, does 10 Fs mean I like it or that I don't like it?
No, because I was going to give it zero.
I was going to say zero Fs. Like, I thought, but I agree with what you were saying, Ethan. Like, I think it was super rude for her to just keep saying, oh, I have a life, I have a life, I have this. It kept rubbing me the wrong way because I was like, girl, they all have lives, like, and they all there. So calm down. Yeah, zero Fs for me. I hated that.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd give it zero Fs too, just because she was just making it seem as if like nobody has a life. And it's like, girl, everybody has a life. But then at the same time, Kyle, like, she went back and she's like, well, you know, I'm doing filming. I have this fashion line and I'm trying to be a mom. And it's like, girl, you weren't even that present for your fashion line. So basically the only thing you're probably worried about is your filming. And you're not even spending time with your family when you're back in LA. You're going out to these retreats and doing all these things like filming for the show. So I don't know. It's everywhere.
Can I also just make one other point when Dorit was saying like, oh yeah, and when PK is out of town, it's just me. It's just me. I was like, don't you have like four nannies?
Probably.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if she still does, but I think at one point I heard that she had like four nannies. So I don't know.
One for like every kid.
Can she afford them? We don't know.
Hey, all I'm saying is
bring in the shade.
Help ain't cheap, but you know, you're not by yourself.
Right. Well, the chat is going off with zero Fs for this moment. I give it 8 strictly for the purposes of entertainment. Like I said, I loved the editing. I thought it was very funny how they brought that back. So for her to keep saying, I have a life, I have a life. And then for the way that they edited it to look like her life is glam and a photo shoot, that was entertaining to me. When we're in reality, I'm sure she truly was caring for her kids to some capacity that morning. Got in glam, took maybe 5 minutes worth of photos, and then got in the car and got there for the time she said she was supposed to. But it was entertaining to me. So
yeah,
I give it 8.
With this, let's jump into our news. And James, you want to take it away?
Yes, of course. So for our news segment today, we did a little bit of digging on Sutton. Our girl Sutton recently did a tour of her closet for Bravo TV. So if you guys want to check that out, you can get a load of her closet. And we knew that her closet was going to be amazing and it didn't disappoint. She has multiple levels of stuff in her closet. It looks very Kardashian-like, so we would expect nothing less. And she has multiple different crowns and tiaras. So it looks like someone else is coming for the crown, who knows? But also, in addition to that, she recently did an interview with ET's Bryce Sandler, and she was going off talking about many different things. First of all, about how she appears on the show. So she said, quote, can I be a little snobby? Yes, but that is my whole personality. Is that my whole personality? No. So she's saying that, you know, she was a little bit nervous. She relied on a lot of old debutante skills to kind of get her through, which is so funny to me.
Girl,
relying
stop.
On your old debutante skills. But yeah, and so she thinks that a lot of what she saw of herself on the show, she didn't necessarily like, but she knows who she is. And that's not all there is what she's saying. She thinks it was a little bit of a defense mechanism in a way of what we've seen of her so far. Then also in regards to the Teddy beef, she said that she was surprised that Teddy was so defensive about her calling Teddy boring and didn't know that that was like a thing that Teddy is upset by. So she said, I didn't know that was a thing of her being touchy. And she was talking about how Teddy accused her of looking up, like doing research on each of the cast and seeing what they're like. So she had no idea. And she's like, no, I didn't research. I am only just now beginning to understand this whole Twitter game. Like, I just don't know. I lived in a bubble for 17 years. Come on.
Oh my God. I guess we'll probably see her redeem herself at the reunion, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully. It's so funny too, because in terms of the I have a life discussion from Dorit, that's basically the route Sutton was taking in regards to researching Teddy. She said, I don't have time to do that. I'm opening a store. So that's the furthest from the truth. So funny. So yeah, she felt it was offensive. So we'll definitely, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of this in the reunion and hopefully more throughout the season. And if you guys are thirsty for some more Bravo news and gossip, Maite does our Bravo News Daily, and she's got some juice coming for you on Instagram as well. Yeah.
Sure thing. I'm going to have a lot of more to chat about. This is all for our show today. Before we say our goodbyes, Ethan, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Sure. I'm at Ethan B. Paisley. That's the letter B in the middle. On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Awesome. Laura, do you want to let... Oh, go ahead, Jane.
I was like, I'll go.
My dog is barking, so that's why I was like, wait, where am I going? What am I doing?
What's up, doggo? I'm Jane Johnson. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all the things at Jane Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-E-N. And I also am doing an interview series after Buzz TV, Bravo in Quarantine. So check that out. I just interviewed a lot of people from Summer House today, Paige and Jules. And next week we're doing Vanderpump Rules with Raquel and Charlie. So very excited.
So fun. And guys, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to jump in on this panel. I'm Laura Thomason on the IG, Twitter, TikTok, all of the things. Yes, I'm a mom. Yes, I'm on TikTok. It's a thing. Don't worry about it.
Woo! Woo! Hey, everyone. Well, my name is Maite Creo. You can find me on all social media sites at This Is Maite. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you here next week to chat all about episode 5. Bye.
Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.